We're doing the book of Melachim. So Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, and then we have the famous prayer that Shlomo prays at the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash. And he asks Hashem that if a Jew prays to Hashem towards the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem should pay him back in accordance to what he deserves. And if a non-Jew prays to the Beit HaMikdash, then Hashem should give him whatever he asks for, because he wants that the non-Jews, when they pray, Hashem should give it to them, whether they deserve it or not. And the Jews, he says, well, if they deserve it, give it to them. If not, not. We see that the Beit HaMikdash was built not only for us, although its prime purpose was for our sacrifices, but non-Jews could also bring sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash. Sure, they did. And
Sukkot was for non-Jews also.
Right.
But Shmuel says was Hashem says, stay one more day.
Yefeh, very nice. Shlomo HaMelech discusses that wherever we are in the world, we face towards the Beit HaMikdash as we daven. We know that that's.
We
pray towards the Beit HaMikdash. Depends on where you're located. Depends. I never checked. I don't know. I think it's east. We are west of the Har HaBayit, right here. The Beit HaMikdash represents a place of connection that when a person sins, he can reconnect with heavens through the sacrifices of the Beit HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech blesses the people, and that year they celebrate the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash, even though the celebration falls out on Yom Kippur as well. They celebrate for 14 days straight, including Yom Kippur. That year they do not fast on Yom Kippur. We continue, and Hashem appears to Shlomo a second time, and Hashem says he has sanctified the Beit HaMikdash, and Shlomo's responsibility is to maintain the Torah. And if not, Hashem warns him, I want you to know that you will be exiled, and the people will be exiled, and everyone will know that it is because you did not keep the Torah. Now, it's his responsibility. Shlomo is the leader. We have the story of the Queen of Sheba that came with a tremendous army, with a lot of gold and precious stones, and she came to test Shlomo. We have fantastic midrashim about that. She was so impressed with him, he gave her whatever she wanted. According to one opinion, he lived with her, he was intimate with her. He gave her a bunch of gifts and sent her back home, and she praised him, and she became a steady fan of his. He made a tremendous throne made of ivory and covered with gold. And we have a long, long midrashim about the fantastic throne that he made, where he'd have mechanical animals of gold that would lift his feet and lift him onto the throne, and an eagle would swoop down, a gold eagle. A mechanical gold eagle would come with some kind of magnet and lift the crown off his head and hold it up. And he'd have declarations as he ascended the throne that he'd have like microphones and speakers that would say, be humble, keep the Torah. They would remind him of his responsibilities as a king. But we said that Shlomo ultimately fell, that Shlomo HaMelech had too many horses, too many wives, right, too much gold.
Everything he said that you're not supposed to have, he had.
Right, as we discussed last week. And the pasuk describes that he sacrificed, he offered incense and sacrifices for idols. Our sages have on tradition that he didn't literally do it, but his wives, who had converted, were not really faithful to Judaism, and they continued doing it, and he was aware of it, and he didn't take a firm enough stance against his wife, and that's why Hashem describes it as though he himself did it. And so Hashem got angry at Shlomo, and Hashem had him attacked towards the end of his life. And Hashem told him, I want you to know, I will tear the kingdom from you. I will give it to your servant. And that servant is none other than Yeravam ben Nevat. That famous Yeravam we discussed last week or 2 weeks ago, how he wagged his finger at Shlomo when Shlomo overslept that morning. He was a huge tzaddik, Yeravam ben Nevat. Hashem tells him, I'll leave you with one tribe for the sake of my servant David, for the sake of Jerusalem. And Hashem set up Hadad HaEdomi to start attacking Shlomo. And Hadad also made a pact with Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. And now Shlomo has a problem. He has a pact with Pharaoh, but Pharaoh is supporting Hadad. And Shlomo's fighting him, but he is unsuccessful because Hashem wants Hadad to attack. And the same thing happens with Rezon ben Eliada, which is another formidable opponent who gathers an army, and he also starts attacking. And the Jews are out of the golden era, and Shlomo's kingdom ends, and Yeravam ben Nevat was on his way out of Jerusalem, and Achiyah Shiloni, which was a prophet of the time, who had lived from the time we left Egypt, he was a few hundred years old, Achiyah Shiloni, he bumps into him, and he has a new garment. He grabs that garment, and he tears it to 12 pieces, and he tells Yeravam, you take 10, because Hashem said he is tearing the kingdom from Shlomo, and you will have 10 tribes. One tribe will remain with him for the sake of David, my servant, and the city I've chosen. Being that they left me, and they served the other gods, so I'm not going to leave the kingdom in the Davidic dynasty's hands. And I will give you the kingdom from his son's hands. His son will only have one tribe. And you will rule over whatever you want. You will be king over Israel, the tribe of Yehuda. And if you listen to what I tell you, then I will be with you and build you a faithful house like I did for David. And I will let you rule Israel. But it won't be forever. Now, Shlomo wants to execute Yeravam, especially after Yeravam spoke so disrespectfully against him. And Yeravam runs out to Egypt. Notice how Egypt becomes the safe haven for Shlomo's enemies. This wonderful Egyptian king who Shlomo married his daughter, he gives safe haven to Shlomo's enemies. Shlomo passes away, and his son Rechavam takes the throne. The Jewish people gather to Shechem to anoint Rechavam, and Yeravam ben Nevat heard that Shlomo died, so now he came back from Egypt, he comes back to Israel. And Yeravam comes and he's heading the procession of the Jewish people, he's a big Talmud Chacham, he's a big Tzaddik, and they tell Rechavam the following. They come with a request. They say, your father taxed us heavily, and we want you to lighten the load a little bit. And he says to them a very smart answer. He says, give me 3 days and then return. So the nation leaves. Rechavam asks the elders, and these are the elders that were his father's advisors, and asked them, what do you recommend I answer them? And the elders said, today you give in to them. Today you make them happy. They will become faithful to you forever. And then you will be able to do what you want. But first, go with them. And he left the advice of the elders and he went and asked the kids he grew up with and asked them, what do you say I say? And they said, they heard from his voice that he didn't want to do what the elders told him. And they said to him, this is what you should say. My pinky is bigger than my father's waist. If my father made it harsh, I'm going to make it even worse. If my father used simple whips, I'm going to use complicated whips. And Yeravam and the nation come to hear Rechavam's answer, and Rechavam answers them harshly. Chazal say, if the elders tell you to destroy, and the youngsters tell you to build, listen to the elders and destroy. Because what the elders destroy is really a foundation for future building. And what the youngsters build is really the foundation for future destruction. Youngsters don't know how to build. And so even if you think by listening to the youngsters you're building, you're not doing good by listening to the youngsters as opposed to the elders. So Rechavam thought, I'll listen to my young advisors and things will turn out well, and quite the contrary. when he told them that, the truth is the nation was ready to leave, and it was all part of God's doing. Hashem planned this way, that Rechavim would give him a foolish answer, and then they would leave with Yeravam ben Nevat. When the nation hears that the king isn't willing to listen to them, they say, what interest do we have in David and the son of Jesse and the son of Yishai? We're all going back home. And Rechavim is king over one tribe, the tribe of Yehuda. Rechavim sends the famous tax collector who served his father and grandfather, Adoniram, and they stone him to death. So Rechavim runs away. He realizes that there's a rebellion afoot. Now, the nation appoints Yeravam as the king. Rechavim comes home and he gathers the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin. Those were the two tribes that were within his territory. And they go to war. There's a rebellion. And Hashem sends the prophet Shemaya, and he says, go tell Rechavim and his troops that they shouldn't go to war. They should go back home. This is my doing. And look at the piety of these people. When they hear that God said so, they turn around and they go back home. Rechavim goes back home. We see here his tzitkus. And Yeravam establishes his throne. And Yeravam thinks to himself, what's going to happen if the nation goes up for the regalim to celebrate? So if I go with them, I'm not allowed to sit in the temple. Only someone from the Davidic dynasty may sit down in the temple. Everyone's going to see that he's the king, he's sitting there, and I'm like one of them. I'm standing there. I can't sit. That's not permitted. And if I stand, that's not respectful. And if everyone goes back up, so then there's going to be a hakel, a mitzvah at the end of the seventh year that the king has to read from the Torah. Who's going to read it? Not me. He's going to read it. We're in his territory. And then I'm going to look like a fool. I'm not going to look like a king. Yeravam says, I can't have the people going up to the temple. What could end up happening is they become faithful to Rechavim again and kill me, and then they all become Rechavim's people. And here we see a fantastic difference between Yeravam and Rechavam. When Rechavam was told, don't attack, don't go and regain the tribes, don't reunify the kingdom, he listens to Hashem. He's giving up on 10 out of 12 tribes. But Hashem said so, he listens. Yeravam ben Nevat was promised 10 tribes. Hashem told Yeravam, you're going to be king over the 10. And yet Yeravam started thinking, but maybe I'll lose it. But maybe they'll turn back to Rechavam. And that worry was enough to get him to turn against Hashem. Yeravam decides that he's going to establish two golden calves, and he's going to get the Jewish people to worship the calves, and he changes the calendar. Obviously, he came with all kinds of legal claims why it should be so. There's a whole story in the Gemara, how he convinced the people to follow him. It says initially he went to different elders, and he said, are you faithful to me? They said, yes. And if I tell you to serve a golden calf, will you listen to me? So they thought, of course, he's kidding. He's just saying that. So they said, yes. And then he took them to their word, and he found a tricky way of getting people to serve the golden calves. And he sets up his own priests, and Yeravam becomes the prototypical chote umachti. Whenever Chazal wanted to describe someone who not only sinned, but caused the masses to sin, a person who will not have a portion in the world to come, Chazal tell us Yeravam ben Nevat. And the future kings of Israel will follow suit. And now we begin a period where the kingdom is divided, where we have the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. You have Yehuda and Binyamin and parts of the tribe of Shimon mixed in, and parts of the Levites and Kohanim mixed in. But technically you have the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. And Hashem sends a prophet. We have on tradition this prophet was Ido HaNavi. The prophet comes northward from Judean territory, and he comes to the city of Beit El. Yeravam ben Nevat is standing over the altar to bring a sacrifice to the idols. And Ido, the prophet, calls over the Mizbeach and says, in the name of Hashem I say, Mizbeach, Mizbeach, you two temples, the temple in Beitel and the temple in Dan. Ko amar Hashem, I say in the name of God, there will be born a child to the house of David. He will be called Yoshiyahu. God will save us. And he will slaughter the priests on you. And the man's bones will burn here. Whose man's bones? Yeravam ben Nevat. But he doesn't want to say it overtly. He's still king. So he says, and the man's bones will still be burnt right here on this altar. And on that day there will be a great sign. This Mizbeach will suddenly crack and all the earth, all the ashes will pour out of it. Now, the king isn't too happy to hear the prophet say that. So Yeravam ben Nevat stretches his hand out and points them and says, grab him! And he wants his officers to grab Ido the Navi. And the minute he does that, his hand goes foul. He can't move his hand. And he tries to bring back his hand, and his hand is paralyzed. The altar he's standing on breaks, and the ashes start pouring out, just as the prophet said would happen. And the king calls out to Ido, and he says, please, pray to Hashem, your God. Please turn to Hashem, and he should give me back my hand. And now the prophet is standing there after Yeravam wanted him dead, and we'll see what happens next week, Mezachim.